Hello, boys and girls. This is the Big Scary News with your host, Drew Badger, bringing you all the latest up-to-the-minute news and goings-on in the haunt, horror, and Halloween industry. In addition, we have an interview you won't find anywhere else. The Big Scary News is very proudly brought to you by our title sponsor, Froggy's Fog, makers of the finest fog, smoke, snow, and scents. Visit them at froggiesfog.com. And now, boys and girls, don't be scared, because it's time for the Big Scary News.
What do you say we see what's shaking in the outer limits? Now, it may get a little hairy once in a while, but don't let it flip you out.
Hello everyone, Drew Badger here. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, but we got a lot of news to get to for episode 116, and we're going to start with an update from Days of the Dead in Atlanta. It is with great pleasure that we announce the addition of professional wrestling legend Shawn Michaels to the guest roster for Days of the Dead Atlanta, happening February 2nd through the 4th at the Atlanta Sheraton. Known for his confident demeanor, Shawn Michaels began his career as part of the Rockers alongside partner Marty Jannetty. Along the way, he earned the distinction of holding every major WWE title before becoming the organization's first Grand Slam champion, as well as winning two Royal Rumbles in a Hall of Fame career that stands as one of the best ever. This is a very rare appearance for Michaels, who will be appearing on Saturday only. Autograph and photo op info will be announced very soon. Shawn Michaels joins previously announced guests Matthew Lillard, Malcolm McDowell, Ralph Macchio, C. Thomas Howell, Heather Langenkamp, Ray Wise, and many, many more to be announced for Days of the Dead's seventh show in the Peach State. Tickets for Days of the Dead Atlanta are on sale now at daysofthedead.com/Atlanta. We have this news from the 2018 Vampires Ball coming to Lincoln, Nebraska. Join Portal Events Saturday, February 17th for the 2018 Vampire Ball. The Vampires will gather once again at the Rococo Theater, 140 North 13th Street in Lincoln, Nebraska, for this Valentine's Day event. The glamour, style, and sophistication of the vampire culture will come alive in the perfect gothic setting. This year we're offering two options for a fantastic night of vampiric fun. A $50 ticket includes early entry into the event, reserve seating, a three-course meal from Yes Chef, a dinner show with live circus provided by Freakworks Entertainment, and dancing with music from Elliot Harris. The doors open at 5, dinner served at 6. Dinner tickets must be purchased by February 3rd. A $15 ticket includes general admission seating, dancing with music from Elliot Harris, and the doors open at 8. Capture a lasting memory in the photo booth by Studio Orange Photography. This event is 18 and over. The party ends at the stroke of midnight. To order tickets, contact them by email, vampireballtickets@gmail.com, or contact Shelley by phone, 402-440-8913. Checks and credit cards are accepted. There will be a small processing fee for credit card orders. The door policy is 18 and plus with government issue photo ID, no exceptions, and in proper dress code. No jeans, sneakers, etc. with vampire, formal, medieval, steampunk, or gothic attire. Masquerade masks and vampire fangs are highly encouraged. Get more information at portaleventsne.com. We have this news from the National Haunters Convention in Atlantic City, New Jersey. The National Haunters Convention is back May 18th through the 20th at the Showboat Hotel in Atlantic City, New Jersey. This is the year that you should attend the Halloween Show and National Haunters Convention fantasy event and bring a friend. Why? They'll have over 100 vendor show booths. The historic Atlantic City Steel Pier full of amusement rides will be right outside. Halloween University educational program run by head monster Chris Handa. A reunion of all your favorite Halloween and haunted house owners, friends, and family. A professional meet and greet free event Thursday night featuring Master Chef Saka. Huge Mardi Gras themed costume ball. Magicians and Haunters live entertainment area on stage, Pumpkin Patch carving display area, a zombie volleyball trophy tournament, Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum, the largest on the East Coast, the Hard Rock Cafe restaurant complete with museum pieces right next to our convention. This is the year you should attend the National Haunter Show and Haunters Convention Fantasy Event. It's work, it's play, it's Halloween the way you deserve, and a vacation that won't scare your wallet. Get more information at HalloweenShow.com. We have a little news regarding Ash vs. the Evil Dead via DreadCentral.com. We have awesome news that the first two seasons are now streaming on Netflix. So if you've been putting off watching the series for some reason, or been waiting until the day where you could just binge watch the series in one grand swoop, then today is your day. There isn't a better time than now. Just make sure you're caught up come February. Ash vs. Evil Dead stars Bruce Campbell, Ray Santiago, Dana DiLorenzo, and Lucy Lawless. Campbell executive produces the series with Sam Raimi, Rob Tappert, Ivan Raimi, and Rick Jacobson. Season 3's new showrunners are Mark Verheiden and Moira Grant. Ash vs. Evil Dead Season 3 hits Stars on Sunday, February 25th. We have some news from the 100 Years of Horror coming out on DVD. This comes to us via BrokeHorrorFan.com. 100 Years of Horror will be re-released on DVD with digital on February 6th via Mill Creek Entertainment. It features all 26 episodes of the 1996 documentary series on three discs. Hosted by genre icon Christopher Lee, 100 Years of Horror chronicles the history of horror films with input from Roger Corman, Hugh Hefner, John Carpenter, and more. Hosted by Christopher Lee, 100 Years of Horror is the first show of its kind ever produced, chronicling the history of movie horror from the earliest experimental chillers through the unforgettable golden age of movie monsters and on through today's terrifying films. Again, comes out February 6th. We have a little haunted house news from the Edge of Insanity haunted attraction in Kokomo, Indiana. A twisted spin on your typical Valentine's Day date, Edge of Insanity haunted attraction presents My Gory Valentine Masquerade Ball. On February 3rd, come dressed to the nines for our costume contest and enjoy an evening of music and dancing. Prizes will be awarded for the best, scariest, most original, or most glamorous costumes. Tickets are limited, so plan ahead and reserve your tickets online today. Prices are subject to increase as the fated date draws near. There will be raffles throughout the evening, including a basket of haunt swag and a pair of tickets to Edge of Insanity for the 2018 season. Proceeds benefit Edge of Insanity Haunted Attraction, a not-for-profit haunted house in Kokomo, Indiana. A cash bar will be on site provided by Indianapolis Marriott East. Get your tickets at edgeofinsanity.ticketleap.com and get more information on their Facebook page at facebook.com/Wetlels Edge of Insanity, W-E-I-T-L-E-S, Edge of Insanity. We have some news on a new Ghostbusters comic via io9.gizmodo.com. Over the last year, the Ghostbusters comics have started to slowly connect a whole multiverse of supernatural hunting scientific heroes. At first with team-ups between the classic team and the Ghostbusting class of 2016, but now it's getting even bigger and every Ghostbuster is coming along to the ride. IO9 can exclusively reveal that IDW's next Ghostbuster miniseries will be aptly titled Ghostbusters Crossing Over. Written by Eric Berman and with art by Dan Schoenig, Crossing Over will be set in the wake of previous team-ups between the original Ghostbusters team of the first two movies and the all-female team of the 2016 reboot. Those team-ups were facilitated by the original team accidentally creating their own interdimensional portal, technology the team has yet to share with other members of the Ghostbusting multiverse. Naturally, this makes Jillian Holtzman and Ron Alexander of the Chicago branch of the Ghostbusters, introduced in IDW's second volume of comics, jealous, so they build a portal of their own, one that inadvertently unleashes every ghost ever contained in their containment units. So it's a good thing they now have two portals in which to connect every Ghostbuster team ever, from the comics to the video games to the cartoon series, to help collect the ghostly threats. Yes, they do mean everyone. With the Extreme Ghostbusters, the Real Ghostbusters, the New Ghostbusters, all the comic editions and every other iteration coming along for the ride. Quote, there are so many potential characters, good, bad, and ectoplasmic, that it's been a challenge to figure out ways to give everyone a little page time, Burnham said in a statement provided to IO9. Some ghosts didn't make the cut, and others have been given beefed up roles due to fan requests. Either way, there's a lot on the page to sort out and realize, but don't worry, Dan Schoening and I have been practicing getting out the straitjackets just in case. The first issue of Crossing Over will arrive on March 28th. We have some news from the Haunted Hills Hospital haunted attraction in Lake Station, Indiana. Haunted Hills Hospital presents Love Hurts, a Valentine's slasher experience on February 9th and 10th. Slaughter at the Die-In. You arrive at a drive-in theater and enter a slasher movie that takes place at an abandoned hospital in the 1950s. Armed with only a flashlight, you and the typical horror movie teens, nerds, jocks, and preps, have to escape the hospital while being pursued by the legendary killer, Mr. Grimm. It's one hell of a date night. Get more information at their Facebook page, facebook.com/Haunted Hills Hospital. We have this news from the Dark Hour Haunted House in Plano, Texas. The air of love has a bitter burn when expelled from the lungs of Giselle Scuro. Giselle, a young witch, took herself away from Coven Manor across the countryside to spy for her sisters. Amongst the town folk, unrecognized for what she was, she met a handsome young baron whose bold spirit and love of life rivaled her own, and so she took to Daniel Wagoner. He rode her through towns and estates, showing off his lovely prize, for Giselle was lovely indeed. Despite herself, she grew more than fond of the young baron, and he for her, as he flaunted her to his high society peers, unaware of the ghoulish secret. Their love was a burning, passionate fire, brightening everywhere they went, some even claiming that they could see the glow at a distance. Consumed by her fervent love for this mortal man, Giselle decided that she would tell him what she was, keeping her heart hopeful that he would join her. She rode to his home one evening to tell the baron the news, but found that she was too late. One of her own sisters, in a terrible fit of jealousy, had told Daniel the news, and he hanged himself, unable to bear the disgust and horror at his deeds. In a broken-hearted rage, Giselle has now cast a spell of darkness over the estates and surrounding countryside, determined that all would suffer as she is suffering, with sudden darkness and torment inside. Dark Hour Haunted House presents Love is Blind, February 9th, 10th, and 14th. Get more information and tickets at darkhourhauntedhouse.com. We have a little more Texas haunt news, this time from Creepy Hollow Haunted Attraction in Rosharon, Texas. Creepy Hollow Haunted House presents Bloody Valentine Weekend, February 9th and 10th. This is always a very popular off-season show featuring special themed characters, Bloody Valentine Photo Booth, Themed Grounds, Bloody Valentine Freak Show, and a couple's Bloody Valentine experience, including dark roses and dinner. Come scream the night away as you try to make sure this isn't your last experience together. General admission price is $30 for all attractions. The couple's Bloody Valentine experience is $60 each, which includes all attractions, dark roses, and dinner. Get tickets at creepyhollow.ticketleap.com. And you can get more information by calling 1-800-357-DEAD or email info@creepyhollowhauntedhouse. Of course, you can always visit their Facebook page at facebook.com/creepyhollowhauntedhouse. We have this news regarding a third season of the show Van Helsing via Deadline.com. Ahead of its season 2 finale, Sci-Fi has renewed action horror series Van Helsing for a third season. The hour-long drama wraps its season 2 production on January 4th and returns next fall for a 13-episode season. Production is expected to begin in February. The season from Nomadic Pictures is set in a world dominated and controlled by vampires. Season 2 pushed Vanessa and the other survivors further into the world of the vampire apocalypse, where they discovered old alliances have crumbled and new connections expose long-buried secrets about the Rising, the Van Helsing heritage, and the survival of humankind itself. Kelly Overton, Missy Peregrim, Jonathan Scarf, Christopher Heyerdahl, Vincent Gale, Rukia Bernard, Trezzo Mahoro, Alex Parno, and Paul Johansson star. Quote, I couldn't be happier to learn that Sci-Fi has renewed Van Helsing for a season 3. It's been a wonderful journey thus far, but we have much more of the Van Helsing saga to tell before we're through, says showrunner Neil LaBute. It's great to be working with Sci-Fi on this project again, along with Chad and Mike at Nomadic and all the others at Dynamic and Echo Lake as well. The writing team has some amazing adventures planned for our cast and a few new surprises as well. Expect blood to be spilled and characters to die screaming while the fate of humanity slips closer and closer to the edge of true chaos and utter darkness. We have a little news regarding The House on Sorority Row coming out on Blu-ray via BloodyDisgusting.com. Exciting news for fans of the 1983 slasher The House on Sorority Row. This week, Scorpion Releasing has announced that they're reissuing the film with a brand new Blu-ray. The reissue, to be sold exclusively through curated Blu-ray shop Ronin, is set to arrive in March of 2018. It'll feature new art from the Glitchway, as well as a brand new 2K scan of the original negative, with over 45 hours of color correction done exclusive for this release. The limited edition version will feature a collectible slip sleeve, along with 5.1 surround sound mix from the original 3-track mag, SDH subtitles for the hearing impaired, an isolated music track, all extras on the previous releases. You can watch the film in Katrina's Nightmare Theater mode, audio commentary with director Mark Rosen and stars Eileen Davidson and Kate McNeil, audio commentary with director Mark Rosen alone, interviews with director Mark Rossman, actress Haley Jane Kozak, actress Eileen Davidson, actress Katie McNeil, composer Richard Band, and producer Ego Cantor, storyboard on the original ending, extra trailers, English subtitles for the hearing impaired, and this will be a limited pressing of only 1,500. A standard release without the slip or new art will be coming from Music Box Films for sale in all major retailers 3 months later. So that means probably around June. So watch out for that. We have a little more comic news based on Bubba Hotep via BloodyDisgusting.com. Long live the king, baby! Back in October, Bubba Hotep writer Joe R. Lansdale released Bubba Hotep and the Cosmic Bloodsuckers, a prequel to the novella that was turned into Phantasm director Don Coscarelli's 2000 film. Now the prequel is becoming a comic book. Via THR, Elvis will battle aliens in IDW Publishing's Bubba Hotep and the Cosmic Bloodsuckers, co-written by Lansdale and Joshua Jepkuga. In the forthcoming series arriving in March, President Richard Nixon has uncovered a potential threat from beyond the stars, but there's only one man who could possibly safeguard the world as we know it, Elvis Aaron Presley. Bubba Hotep was an accidental story that turned out to be my first film adaptation, and it's still going strong in story and film, Lansdale told the site. And finally, it has inspired a background story that was first a novel and is now represented in the medium that first made me want to be a writer. Comics, graphic novels, what we used to call funny books. I'm excited and looking forward to readers discovering it all in color and looking fine, he added, teasing the future. May more Bubba comics burst into existence and give the world the true story on how the world has been protected from evil and for quite some time. Thank goodness these defenders are out there working in the shadows. And finally, we have this update from HauntCon. For those going to HauntCon in New Orleans, January 12th through the 15th, we are once again holding the annual Haunted Garage Sale on Sunday, January 14th from 6 to 7 p.m. in room 228. The annual Haunted Garage Sale and Swap Meet is a great opportunity to sell extra inventory and find unique haunt items. As an exhibitor, you're invited to participate free of charge. Reserve your complimentary table at the Haunted Garage Sale today. Email Ryan Lee at rlee@urban-expo.com to secure your space. And get more information about HauntCon at HauntCon.com. And that wraps up the news for this episode. Stay tuned for the interview here on The Big Scary News. Do you need fog or snow for your haunted attraction or theatrical event? Are you looking for that perfect haze effect? How about scents to give your haunt that extra realism? If you answered yes to any of these, then you need to head over to froggiesfog.com and check out their line of world-famous frog juice, haze juice, artificial snow, and bubble juice. Whether you're a home haunter buying a gallon a year or a major theme park buying 25,000 gallons a year, you can be certain that your satisfaction is their highest priority. They have everything you need when it comes to the highest quality fog and haze fluids. If you're looking for that perfect low-lying stage fog, the longest-lasting water-based fog, the right haze juice for your machine, a bubble juice that outperforms the rest, or a snow juice that evaporates after floating 30 feet, Froggy's Fog has that and so much more. Froggy's Fog also has scent additives that are compatible with any water-based fog, haze, snow, and bubble fluid. For more information, visit froggiesfog.com. That's froggiesfog.com.
Hey, this is Tater. Come buy your fog from me, because if you don't, I'll be homeless.
Go. Hello, everyone. Drew Badger here at the Scares at Cares charity convention in Williamsburg, Virginia. Lots and lots of great people are out here helping those in need, checking out celebrities, checking out the vendors. The autographs are being sold, the books and the T-shirts and the makeup and all the cool stuff. The vendors are making great sales. Thought we'd talk to this person right here. We like talking to writers. We like talking to poets. And we found one who does a little of both, Pamela K. Kinney. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
You are a writer of what works.
Oh, gosh.
You've written about the paranormal. You've written about, you know, horror. You've written books of poetry and all sorts of really interesting things.
I write science fiction. I write fantasy. I write everything that I like to read. That's what I write.
So you don't consider yourself a single genre type writer?
Not really. I think that would be limiting me to, you know, what I could do. I think the most one I really haven't thought about doing, and at this point maybe that will change. I always thought I would be able to, is probably mystery, but that's about. But yet I've done a couple of mysteries in stories and stuff in the past, so I don't know if that really means anything or not.
You know, I've never been able to figure out how to do something like that. You know, the two hardest things I think in the world for me personally to do is figure out how to create a crossword puzzle, because I could never get the words to line up right. And the other thing is to write a book that somebody would actually be interested in hearing about. But yet you have done that across multiple
yes.
types of genres.
Yes, I have. Schiffer considers my ghost books, I've been told by my editor, as one of their best sellers. And actually, right now, a lot of my horror, people are buying the fiction and stuff, so I hope it continues.
Of course. If you're a writer, you know, it's all about sales, and it's all about getting your work out there and hoping the masses enjoy it. One of the things I've always wondered about from a good author's standpoint, how do you grab the reader's attention? I mean, with visual and movies and TV, it's always easy to grab someone's
right.
attention with something happening right. unexpectedly here or there, but it almost seems like you have to build up and build up and build up in a book for something to happen. You can't just say all of a sudden boom.
Actually,
or can you?
They say actually the best thing, starting with a short story or a novel or anything like that, is you want to go into the action. You want to have that good line, first page if nothing else, or definitely the first line. one of the stories I wrote that actually was runner-up in the Washington Science Fiction Association's award that they gave, and this was back in 2013. It was a horror story. It was a ghost story, okay, among all the science fiction, and the big authors were the other six. And I felt like, you know, I was like down there. As my first word was, the spirits always cried loudest at night, and it just hit me. And people told me that was a good catch beginning line. So I think if you can get that right line, just catch them, if nothing else, by the end of the first paragraph, you want to hook them.
It's a lot better than "it was a dark and stormy night" then.
Well, yeah, that we're not going to go there with Snoopy.
Or that bad fiction contest that has to have that or something in it. So what are some of the works that you've done over the years?
My first actually publications were poetry. I was 17, Hossians and Biscuits. The first three poems were The Horse, Sands of Time, and I'm trying to remember the other one, and The Leopard. 3 months later from the same magazine, and I got paid for this at that time, $5 a poem, which I've heard it's even currently now. This was back in 72.
Wow.
It was pretty good for a teenager who couldn't get a job back then because they didn't want anybody under 18 to get paid just for something so simple to her to write. Was later on Star Journey, which was a science fiction one, and a couple others that were, one was kind of horror and another was like that. So that was my start. I've done poetry for a long time, but then I broke into short stories about in the 1990s and started sending off. And one of them had been rejected, and that's actually in this book, Spectre Nightmares and Visitations now. But when it first, I sent it out, Werewolf for Hire, it got rejected. Well, they sent me a letter, and I thought, are they rejecting me twice? I never heard of that before. But they actually sent me a letter, said that they had really liked it, but they were going to be bought out by another publisher, and they wanted to hear back from me. Of course, I lost that. Back then, there was no internet, so you had no way of searching and Googling for these places back then. But I took that same story, which originally was written when I was 15,
wow,
coming home from school, in my head, went home and wrote it down. It's a little flash fiction story, 394 page words is all it is. And I went ahead and submitted it to this science fiction fantasy and horror.com. And they paid me for it, and it actually ended up being one of the top 10 stories for all time for them.
Wow.
They still have it up somewhere. So, and it's now, of course, reprinted in Spectre Nightmares and Visitation, my collection. So
what type of formal education does it take to become a writer? Did you, you know, go to college and do all this kind of stuff, or
twice? The first time they actually weren't for English, though. I was good in English all my life. In English, that's great. Drove my teachers nuts. They want you to write articles, though, and I wrote stories. So I can honestly admit that. And some of them gave up and said, okay, yeah, and stuff like that. But the first time I went to college, I majored actually in TV, movie, and film production.
Oh, wow.
So I can do the film part of the whole thing. The second time I went back for theater, which anyway, learning to write plays and that, you still got to, you know, that part, and even directing and that, you got to know your English and stuff. And so I do think you need to know some grammar, though nowadays there are people out there, editors that are for hire, and people can do that. I know that's not always as easy. But I really think, even though they think it's anybody can write, I think a good writer has to be able to tell a story. I don't think just because someone that writes is the perfect grammar person, some of them can't write. And you really, that's the basis, that if you can hook them, that they get published, it's because of how you wrote the story. I mean, they got editors, if there's a few things, they can go over that in the end too. And everybody has their own viewpoints of what's right or wrong anyway. But if that person can't tell a story, they're not going to eventually make the money in the long run. So I always wanted to tell stories since I was 8 years old. I was writing. I was talking to my friends. I would purposely tell some scary stories about places to scare them and got them to believe it. Same thing with, you know, aliens and stuff. So that was always my thing. So this has been my big thing. Always wanted to be a writer. But I really think, like I said, some people have it, and then some people don't have it. And I think You still have to be able to tell that story. You have to be the good storyteller.
What are you working on now that people can see coming out from you the next year or so?
Right now, okay, this one, I have How the Vortex Came Out. That actually is going to be my first self-published book. And it's coming out as Urban Fantasy by September the very most. That will be out. And then I'm working right now on a novel. It's a horror novel. It's a ghost story, kind of a ghost story. I'm not going to say what the monster really is at the end, but it's called Nowhere Land. And it's about a land for centuries since Native Americans, people have been disappearing mysteriously, maybe one or two. The last thing, beginning of the first chapter, paranormal investigators were investigating it for this guy who came from hell, who had inherited. His grandfather died, and he was getting his fist. And, of course, they disappeared. So it goes into that sort of thing. Writing short stories. The last one I wrote that I submitted was about a crypto creature called the Orang Batai, which was a kind of creature that would sneak down and steal children and take them to this volcano that no longer is working to eat them. And that actually is set in Indonesia. So this is for an anthology, so I'm hoping that we'll make it in there. We'll see.
So for people wanting more information on your writing, the world of Pamela K. Kinney, the new book that's coming out, all the different genres, whether you like sci-fi, whether you like horror, whether you like poetry, how can they find your books if they're on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or any place like that? Where can they get more information and all that?
Well, my website to start with, and that's PamelaKKinney.com. That's PamelaKKinney. And they can, of course, find out places. All the books are up there that are where they can find them. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter, even though we have a love-hate relationship together, me and Twitter. I'm on Goodreads, which is a good place. A lot of readers, if they are on there, that's a good place to find me. I have up there, too. So.
Excellent. Well, it's always a pleasure to get somebody who's very well-read and very easy to read, and you know, I love books, and I will probably go down and start my book shopping here after I get done with a bunch of interviews here. But thank you, Pamela K. Kinney, for taking the time to speak with us here on the Big Scary Show here at Scares at Care Weekend in Williamsburg, Virginia. My name is Drew Badger, and we're out.
We'd like to thank the Ghastly Ones for laying down the tunes for this show. Also, we'd like to thank once again Froggy's Fog for being our title sponsor. froggiesfog.com. Make sure to check out the Big Scary Show next week for even more news, music, rants, phobias, interviews, the Round Table of Terror, and so much more at our redesigned website, bigscaryshow.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Facebook and stay on top of everything happening in the world of haunts, horror, and Halloween. Once again, this is Drew Badger saying good night.